This is such a unusual gathering this morning. I never thought I could bring my car to church. But here we are in God's plan, in His will, and it's such an honor to be with such a group of people that take their faith so seriously, and that it is a miracle of the new birth that we would have such deep motivation and deep love in our hearts that we want to see each other, even through a glass window where we can turn to the right and left and wave to your neighbor. And in our hearts say, praise God. Praise God. In all the years that we've had together, we've never gathered like this. But essentially, it's the same, because we are worshipers. We are worshipers when things go well. We are worshipers when we are challenged. And we are worshipers when things are bad. In one of the Gospels, Jesus had to cross the Sea of Galilee, so he jumped in a boat. That boat was borrowed. And then later in his ministry, he had to enter into this Jerusalem on a donkey, and that donkey was borrowed. And then when he died, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. That tomb was borrowed. And what does God say to us? When things are of God, they can be difficult, but if God is there, there's a blessing. If the boat is borrowed, the donkey is borrowed, the tomb is borrowed, God is in this world. And he says to us, you could sit in that congregation, and if you can't, you can show up in the parking lot, because I am God. And to our brothers and sisters in the world that are gathered in a prison cell somewhere, or in abject poverty, or with broken hearts, we can say the tomb is empty. He is risen. I want to read a story to you from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Starts at the end of chapter 27, verse 57. When even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself also was Jesus' disciple. There's no mention in the Bible of this man except here. Nothing before. We have no record of him before, and nothing said of him after. He was a disciple. Maybe there are some listening to me today that are something like him. A believer. God has those people. We may not know them, but in their hearts, at the right time, in the right place, they show up. I'm very emotional, maybe because maybe the Holy Spirit is saying something, and I'm very touched by this event, but I want to say some very profound things about our faith today. In the story, we have a man like Joseph, and he was rich. But he was kind of like a guy in the background. God has people in the background, and they show up, and they have something deep in their heart, and heaven knows them, and they walk with God. They're a disciple. And we're hoping that in different circumstances of life, God will lead and direct these people to be there, to have something happening in their hearts and in their lives that's very important in the plan. Because this man was a disciple of Jesus and saw him die and wanted his body. He wanted his body to honor him because Jesus was unique. Jesus was what Joseph of Arimathea believed he was, that he was the Messiah, the Savior, that he is the one that believed that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and healed the lepers and healed blind people and multiplied food and walked on water and said who he was, that I am actually, my Father and I are one. No man has ascended up to heaven but the Son of Man, referring to himself, who is in heaven. You are in heaven? While you are on the earth? Yes. While I am on the earth with feet of clay, I am one with my Father. And if you see me, you see the Father. Philip, how long must I be with you for you to understand this and see this in John chapter 14? This resurrection of Christ is so critical to our faith. I have a piece here to read to you. Of all four of the major world religions are based, all but four of the major world religions are based on philosophy. Of the four based on personalities, and we can name them, Buddha, there's Confucius, there's Abraham, of the four based, there's Mohammed, and Jesus Christ. Of the four based on personalities, only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. How do we know this? Because Joseph of Arimathea played an important part in the picture. Why? Because we had to know and identify the place where the dead body would be laid. If the dead body is anywhere, it can easily be excused. He was never raised from the dead. But if we know the tomb, we know the man that asked for the body, and he went to Pilate, and he asked for the body, it's very specific definition for a coming miracle. Then it would be proof. And the Jewish leaders of the time went to Pilate, and they asked him, and they said to him in the story, in the same portion, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error will be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Where was he buried? We know where he was buried. Who did not want the body removed? The Jews. The body has to stay. The Romans. The body has to stay. There's no way. We have to know where it is, and we have to seal it and make it sure. Why is this important? Because this person that came into history in Bethlehem existed before history. He is the I Am. Before Abraham was, I Am. He is God, the Trinity, the second person. He is the Son of God. He is the manifestation of God, the bright shining of his glory, express image of his person. When we handle him, we handle God. Mary, did you know when you touched your baby Jesus' face, you touched the face of God? Was that God? Was it God or not? Was it God? The prophet said so. Jesus said so. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the resurrection, he said at Lazarus' tomb. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Why? I want you to think with me of an illustration of DNA. Many of you know, understand DNA. You know what DNA is. You know what it is. It's this amazing chemistry, this amazing knowledge and information packed in a cell. This genetical information is called DNA. And in a cell, it's all packed in there. The DNA, it's packed in. And I'm going to use that phrase, packed in. In our sin. And I want to, I believe that we are seeing in our country some very, very interesting phenomenon. We are seeing trouble. We are seeing worry, anxiety, and fear. We are seeing people that are afraid of death, which is only natural. In Hebrews chapter 2, we see people that are worried and anxious. One psychiatrist said that the world, that the vast neurotic misery of the world could be termed a neurosis of emptiness. I believe even though we are financially prosperous, there is a neurosis of misery because of a kind of emptiness that is in our life. And packed in our DNA, There are deep and real problems. There are fears. There are worries. There are anxieties because the sentence of death is upon us. Because we're alienated from our Father, we've lost our relationship with our Creator. We are drawn to creation and look in creation for satisfaction, but we find pleasure for a season and then emptiness. Bad habits, personal struggles, inferiority, worry. It's filling our cities. It's filling our towns and villages and in our restaurants and places of exchange and health clubs. My body may be in very good condition, but I have a kind of misery packed in to my DNA. It's called sin in the Bible. It passed on to us from Adam and Eve. But I have done it also. I am a sinner. And that DNA that is packed in me, or is my sin packed in the DNA, is in me, in my body. When Jesus was buried, we could say he was packed in a tomb. When we were in Israel, we went to the grave where Jesus was buried in the tomb. Our tour guide said to us in a devotional way before to our group of 30 or 40 people, he said, when you go in, I want you to go in two by two. And I want you, when you go in there, I would like you to leave something in the tomb. I want you to leave something. Maybe a broken heart. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe wounded pride, maybe personal sin, maybe a bad habit, maybe pornography, maybe unbelief, maybe fear. Because when Jesus died, our sins were packed in to him. He bore them on his body in 1 Peter chapter 1. Our sins were brought into a tomb. In a way, we were buried. It says it, Romans 6. We were buried with him. But there's something else here. Jesus took our sins and he gave us himself. When you are born again, and you must be born again, you must be born again. By our first birth, we have death and judgment. And there's hell. There's a lake of fire. Christ told us about it. Why wouldn't he tell us about it? If it was true, why wouldn't he say it? That many people don't want to hear about it and many people do not believe it. But I am gambling with God on this one. I'm going with God and what he says in his word. I am a liar and God is true. Let every man be a liar, but God is true. In Romans chapter 3. We're putting our trust in an empty tomb, in a risen Christ. Now listen. It's amazing. Because though my sins were packed in him, and he was packed in the tomb, when he came alive, we were in him. When we came alive, the Father saw us in him. Those that believe, you're born of God. You're a child of God. You know, our first birth is miraculous. Two cells, an egg cell and a sperm cell, come together and divide many billions of times to form a human being. And it's a marvel. But this is a greater one. And it is our spiritual birth. It's the birth when you believe in Christ. It's the birth when Jesus comes into your life, when you are now, God has packed in you himself. His righteousness is in you now. His name is in you. His Holy Spirit is in you. The new nature of God, the new nature which is God, is in you. You are born of him. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he went right to the point with him. He knew his theology. He knew Nicodemus was a noble rabbi, a great respected leader, and he went right to it, and he told him, you, sir, must be born again. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed of human DNA, born again, not of the corruptible seed of the things of our natural physical bodies, but we are born again of incorruptible seed of the Word of God. When one couple knelt with, they've been to church 30 years, and the pastor went through the scripture, and they said, we've been in church 30 years, but we never heard that you must be born again. And how could this be? And the pastor opened the scripture, and he said, I don't know. It's a sad, tragic thing. If the people that are living in this world just believe that Christianity is only more moral teaching and not an empty tomb, if it is only church attendance and not a transformed life, it's a sad thing if I don't have Christ in me and I can actually say, I know that I got it. I got it and it's growing in me. I got it and it's changing me. I got it and Jesus is alive. I got it and I know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I got it and I know my sins are forgiven. I got it and I know that my name is in the book of life in Luke chapter 10 and verse 10. So the tomb is sealed. There are many details. There's more information on the detail of Jesus' burial than anybody else in the history of the ancient world. The tomb, the burial, the stone, the seal, the guard, the disciples. The disciples are afraid and they run away. Their lives have not been changed yet. But when you believe this morning, your life is changed. Walk by faith in it. You may not feel it, you may not realize it, but eventually in time you will know it. Walk by faith, and God will answer your prayer, God will visit you, and you will know the presence of God in a personal way. Come to him today. Lastly, there's no way there would be a confusion that Jesus was not buried in a garbage dump. He was not in some confusing mix of burial spots. No, there's no confusion. They knew exactly what tomb it was. And it's empty. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to finish soon. I know some of you need to use the restroom. Okay, I got the message. We're communicating. All right, this is a few minutes. Listen, Matthew 28, the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. This is Easter Sunday. I remember many years ago being in Wales on an Easter Sunday service. And I'll never forget it. It was unique. Now I'm in one now this morning. I've never been in one like this one. It's very unique. But this is Easter morning. He is risen. And she came that morning. And there was an earthquake and an angel sitting on the stone that was rolled away. And the angel said, fear not. Praise God. Fear not, fear not ye, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and he will meet you there. There you shall see him, and I have told you. In other words, he will meet you in Galilee, and you will meet him there. Have you met him? Have you met him? Have you met him? Have you met him? He's alive. But he doesn't take any foolishness. He is God. He doesn't fool around. He's not playing games. He is for real. But he understands your failure. He understands who you are. He understands how wicked you and I are and can be, and it's packed in us. But he took care of it, and he's out of the grave, and he's here amongst us, and he cares about you, and he wants a changed life. He wants to come into your heart. You can't change it. He changes it. He rose from the dead, and he dealt with our deepest problems, and that's us, and it's the grave. It's over. It's finished. Trust in him. If you trust, you are born again. You are a child of God. And now the emptiness that we find in our culture, as we are very many times, many, many people, we are in a standard of living that's the 1% of the whole world. We are the wealthiest people in the history of the human race. We have so much going for us, but we are dying in a sense with an emptiness that is gnawing away. And you don't need more of yourself. You need more of God. You don't need more explanation. You need the preaching of the word. You don't need to rationalize your problems away. You need to come as you are in humility and trust in the living Christ and get out of yourself and discover what it means to be spirit-filled. And be dead honest with God. I am empty, God. God says, thank you for being honest with me. I'm a sinner, God. Thank God. Says, yes, you are. Much more than you realize. But I gave you my son. Look unto him and you shall be healed. Come unto him and you will be free. Trust in him and you will know. Believe in him and walk in him and you will realize it. And you'll discover the amazing Word of God. The Word of God will fill you. The Word of God will satisfy you. The prayers that you pray will be answered. God will visit you. He will help you. God will never leave you, never forsake you. And you're able to look at life square in the face and say, I can take it. I can take it. I'm here. I'm showing up. I've got God in my heart. I believe you, and I'm coming to you as I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Anyone here within listening range of my voice, including the internet, would say to Christ, in total openness, she's like going into an x-ray machine, a CAT scan, an MRI, before God Almighty, open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I believe in you. I've got issues, and I'm bringing it all to you. I ask you, Jesus Christ, who overcame all that I am was packed into the tomb and came out of the tomb to give me a new life. I receive that. I believe in you. I ask you into my heart. I believe you with my heart. In Jesus' name, I pray that prayer. Amen. If anybody said that prayer, would you turn on your windshield wipers? Anybody said that prayer for the first time, turn on windshield wipers. Amen. God bless you. We're almost finished offering and then the closing and we're done. God bless you.